welcome to the Kickstarter edition, October 19th, 2018. This is the show where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week we are backing Cthulhu Mythos, or maybe the Cthulhu Mythos, Penguin Slap. We're watching Wild Ascent, Heck, a tiny card game, Borderheim Chronicles, Processing, a game of serving humanity. And finally, we'll end with a review of Gruff, Stuff of Darkness. Lots of subtitles in this one.
Stuff of Dreams is what you wrote here. Is it darkness?
Stuff of Dreams. No, it's dreams.
I thought I was the tired one today.
I don't think that I should ever read that correctly, because if I did, people would be like, who's this imposter?
Speaking of, that would be like,
you
got to
read it next week.
Your robot test. I do have to read it next week.
Or you can make Josh read it.
No, I think I'm going to make Josh read the hello and welcome to Kickstarter part.
Oh, I like
that.
And
I'll do the Chris part.
Yeah. You can be the Chris for the week.
Yeah.
So I might make you edit in something. Like, I'm gonna record just a tiny little bit of what I'm backing, because I can't skip a week of backing something. That would be ridiculous. So
I might never do that to our listeners.
I couldn't. Although I may actually skip. I'm not sure. One of the ones I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to flip a coin in the next 48 hours and decide whether or not I'm going to back or not. But we'll get to that. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
What I did back this week was Sandy Peterson's Cthulhu Mythos for 5th edition. 5th edition D&D, that is.
I'm surprised that you went back to this. You talked about this a while ago.
So the thing with this one, number one, for some reason, I was not into a Cthulhu or horror or anything like that for years and years and years and years.
And then suddenly,
Arkham Horror, the card game, came along. And now I'm like reading all the like new, well, not all of it, but a decent amount of the Fantasy Flight literature on it. And like kind of really getting into the mythos of it, which is not a horror thing in any way, just because you're so desensitized to that genre, but it's kind of this neat investigatory, weird things are going on type of like material. Actually, Sydney's dad said this best, because he was like, when I told him I was reading the books and, you know, it's not really scary. He's like, well, you have to read it as if you were the character in the book and from their perspective, and then you can really understand what's going on. So then I started reading it like that. I'm like, oh yeah, this is actually much more interesting when I think of it that way. So anyway, this book is the Cthulhu Mythos for 5th edition. It's basically all of the different monsters in that mythos for 5th edition D&D, plus there's some extra classes and professions and sanity rules and things like that. So this is just a way of running your D&D campaign in a Cthulhu world if you want to. And it, as soon as the campaign's done, you get the PDF for it. The book's already done. It's actually been out for Pathfinder, which is another role-playing game, for a while now. So this is just kind of that rewritten for 5th edition. There is some additional content, but most of it's just kind of ported over. So, and Sandy Peterson is like the master and kind of the guru of Cthulhu in the role-playing world. He wrote the Cthulhu role-playing game and then ported it to all these different other games as well. So you can still get in on this. It goes until October 22nd. It's only $19 if you want the PDF, but for $49, you get the hardcover and the PDF. The PDF you still get right after the campaign closes. And for $85, you get the leather-bound edition. I did not get the leather-bound edition. I just got the hardcover.
What?
I know. That was shocking. All day long. All day long. I'm like, I really want the leather, but I don't need it. And if I get the leather one, I'm never going to want to open it. I'm just going to get the hardcover. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to get the hardcover, and then I'll get the PDF. And then I thought, maybe I'll just get the PDF. But then I got the hardcover as well.
Yeah. When I did the Runewild, I just did the PDF. I'm very excited. I actually started reading, because I don't even think that one's closed yet if you're still interested in the Runewild. But they put out a backers-only link to, they've just got a Google Doc that they have going that you're able to see them edit it, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the official PDF comes out, I think in the spring.
Well, the reason I got the hardcover, at least on this, is because it comes with a PDF. So if you're just getting the PDF, it's $19. So for an extra $30, you get the hardcover. And the retail of the hardcover is going to be $59. So I'm like, $30, might as well do that. All right, get me off of Cthulhu. Get me to something pretty much the opposite or the same or different.
I don't know. It's Penguin Slap. I don't know how far on the spectrum it is from Cthulhu, but I'm guessing pretty darn far.
Unless it's Cthulhu Penguins, which, you know, is with a game this we're going to make now.
It wouldn't surprise me. This is a pretty wacky game. A last penguin standing card game for 2 to 4 players, where you have fishing holes and you are trying to be the last penguin holding a fish in your hand. You're trying to slap the fish out of your opponent's hands. There are different abilities and all kinds of stuff going on, and it just looks fun. So, penguin slap.
Well, if it doesn't, if it's not fun, then it's not Kitty's game.
No, I wouldn't back it if it's not fun.
All right, let's go to games we're watching. Now, you said you watched the video on both of the ones I'm going to be talking about.
I did.
Good, because I might need help with this. So, the first one is called Wild Ascent. This is a 1 to 4 player board game with solo / cooperative and PvP game modes, beautiful miniatures, and thrilling gameplay. Now, that's their blurb. I rarely read that, but I want to paraphrase what they've written here. Kingdom Death Monster Light. So that's what this game basically is. And if those who have listened to us for a really long time know that I backed Kingdom Death Monster, which is the all-time most money-making game on Kickstarter of any time. I think it's like $18 million or something crazy like that. I opened up the box, which was $250 to get just the base box. If you wanted to back everything, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,200. This game is not $1,200. But I open up the box and I see a zillion little tiny pieces to put all of this stuff together just to play the game. I closed the box and then I gave it away. It was a great time. I loved looking at the box for 5 minutes before giving the game away. This game is a little, I mean, if you've played Kingdom Death Monster and know anything about it, you're going to recognize a number of things. So these games, and I'm going to talk Wild Ascent, not Kingdom Death Monster, but they're basically the same. Wild Ascent, you're going to have 4 characters. Always 4 characters. The pros to that is you get to build a group of characters that can, you know, take on whatever thing you're going after. The con to that is it's a terrible 3-player game because one person's playing twice as much as the other 2 players. So play this at 1, 2, or 4 players. Don't plan to play it for 3. I think it'd make a great 2-player game, though, 2 characters each. You're going to basically scout out a scenario, which will say this monster or these monsters with this effect. And then you will go fight those monsters and you're trying to kill them or capture them. If you kill them, they're going to give you some kind of component. So like if you kill the phoenix, you get a wing. If you kill skeletons, you get some bones or whatever the case is. If you capture them, you can bring their corpses back to camp and then you can sell them for gold. Simple enough. After you're done with your scenario, you'll go back to camp and your camp starts out kind of lame, but you're going to have different camp actions that your characters can take. And part of those camp actions are being able to craft things or, you know, spend your gold to build up different areas that you can go to. You can recruit hirelings to stick around in your camp that'll give you other abilities and teach you crafting things and such. And the idea here is you're going to play, I think it's 10 scenarios is the campaign length, and you're just kind of go on scenario, build up your camp, go on scenario, build up your camp. You get more powerful, you get to choose skills and abilities and such as that. This is Wild Ascent. The miniatures in this game look amazing.
There is another kind of gameplay, though. It looks like there's the one side that is the cooperative, trying to do these scenarios campaign, but there's also like an arena where you're basically gladiators and you're fighting against each other, one versus one, or a free-for-all version with the same, like, build your own characters.
I'm glad you brought this up. Because I forgot to put in the notes and totally did not remember to bring this up. Yes. So the other side of the game board is a more dueling thing. So you have a character that's basically called an ascent. And this character will have 2 base skills and 2 skills you can customize. And plus you're going to choose a number of monsters to be on your team. And then you're fighting each other. The mechanics are basically the same. So it's like once you learn the combat system, that's the same. But you do have this dueling aspect to it as well.
Yeah, I thought that might make it a little more replayable.
Yeah, and I think that actually can play, it's definitely at least 2 players, but it may play 3 or 4 in a free-for-all as well. I'm not 100% sure on that. So, this game, unlike Kingdom Death Monsters, which was $250 for your entry, is only $99. Unlike Kingdom Death Monsters, which had you constructing every tiny piece and gluing on hands and stuff, and I think pinky fingers in some cases, this one has all pre-assembled miniatures. like Kingdom Death Monsters, the miniatures look amazing.
They look
like,
really just, good.
They're so good. And for an extra $100, you can get the expansion material. And if you back this before, I want to say 5 o'clock, no, noon, noon today, noon Eastern on Friday, October 19th, then you get 2 extra miniatures for free. And as far as I can tell, it's the only way to get it. So that's why in the next 48 hours, I may or may not back this. If I don't back it by noon on Friday, I'm definitely not going to back it. So if I do back it by noon on Friday, I'm going to record a little bit before I leave and have you edit into next week.
Okay.
So that is Wild Ascent. It's definitely worth taking a look at. It's worth looking at. The miniatures alone may be worth $100.
Really cool looking miniatures. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm watching Heck, a tiny card game. This is a game of snakes, critters, cheese factories, and friendship. So you are a snake and you are trying to make friends. The friends are different critters that are dealt into the center of the play area. And everyone has their own little DM screen where you are voting on your skills, and everyone will reveal it once, and you are trying to gain friends by voting on the skills that correspond to the friend. If you don't think you can win one of the friends, you can also vote for Heck, which will give you cards with an unknown effect. And there's a few of those. This looks really fun. The first person to 5 friends wins, or the first person who gets 5 friends with the same nonsense word they're saying wins. So it's set collection. This is from the designer of Newfoundland Jam, which I backed a while ago, and a few other games, which I'm less familiar with. And the art is from the Tiny Snick Comics, and it is so cute. There are so many snakes that are so fun looking. There's a Bob Ross snake, and he's just a happy little snake. And there are all kinds of different friends that you can acquire and all kinds of different stuff. It looks really fun, fast gameplay, super easy to pick up. And, you know, why not play with all these little snakes?
And the Kickstarter video music, we're going to steal for something in the future.
It's so happy. And I love their stretch goals. All of their stretch goals are more cards that are either, they're all snakes. Maybe friends they can make, but they're all either art that was originally rejected from the artist, or snakes that are drawn by other famous webcomic artists.
Is there a narwhal snake here that I'm looking
at? Maybe.
I think there is. That's what I'm saying,
sure.
Right? Is like the unicorn of the sea, the narwhal. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Because yep. I think there is one here.
Yeah. There are so many snakes. So many snakes, and they're so cute. And this looks like a great game. And if I don't back it next week, it's because, I don't know, something terrible's happened. Or something really cool came out. I don't know, but this is probably what I'm going to back next week. I love it.
And I just like the Heck effects.
I know. It ends November 8th. It is $21, and that is Heck.
So, for those who are playing along at home, I am playing the Kitty Says Fun Drinking Game.
No.
No, you can't stop saying fun. Otherwise, the game stops being fun. But as we go along, well, let's just say that I needed the number of funds for this next one is going to be a tricky one to talk about. Oof. We did talk November 8th, $21, right?
Yes.
Okay, that was Heck. All right. Borderheim Chronicles. This is also a big-ish game. It is... Okay, I really, really, really want to love this game. There's a few things, though, that are making me a little tiny bit hesitant on just in general on this game. But let's talk about it. I've already talked about one big game. This is another big game. This is a tactical board game of cooperative card-driven tactical turn-based combat with 40 hours of story campaign gameplay, 1 to 4 players. So that was, again, their blurb. When I go off on a tangent and say words that make no sense, I'm probably reading a blurb. So this can be best described as Diablo in a box. And when you read the Kickstarter, they're actually talking about it, like, oh, I liked video games and Diablo will always have a special place in my heart. And I'm like, yes, it will, because you also made a board game for it. When I first look at this, I'm like, oh, they're trying to be Gloomhaven. And if you watch the video, that's what you would think based on the video. It literally says in the video, I'm going to have to paraphrase it because I don't know if I can quote it, but Guinness Book contender for most non-sequential content or something along that line. I don't even think that's a real thing, but it's in their video. Also, it's only 40 hours of story campaign, and Gloomhaven had like 5,000. But anyway, it's not trying to be Gloomhaven. It's trying to be Diablo. If you're unfamiliar with Diablo, because you're younger than I am, but hopefully you're not unfamiliar with Diablo. Diablo is a randomly generated dungeon where you're taking your characters and you're going in and you're just fighting hordes of monsters. And this game, the whole goal of the game is to get to level 10. But you can go back to town and you can level up and you can get equipment and you can do all of those types of things as well. And it's card play for your combat. There are just tons and tons of tiny little cardboard pieces of equipment, but they're basically squares. But there's this wooden board, which is your inventory. And I love it. It's like, track your equipment with your inventory and backpack. Okay, that makes sense. That's fine. Not judging on that. But the board is really, really cool because
the board looks so cool.
Yeah, it's like you have these cardboard things, which is your inventory, and you have to fit it in the slot. So if you've played Diablo, it is exactly that, except in component form, where you have to fit all the pieces in the backpack. And if you have pieces that are too big, they're not going to fit in your backpack. So you can't pick it up because you have to rearrange your backpack.
These like stats that you're tracking on that board too. It looks like a cribbage board where you've got like a little thing you're moving up and down. It looks really neat. The components on this are really cool.
9 types of stats that change. So as you pick up equipment, you're going to be modifying your stats all over the place. The miniatures look really good too. One of the things I like what they did with the miniature is there's a dial that attaches to the bottom of them. And that dial will spin and it tracks the hit points of that character based on that dial that attaches to the bottom of the miniature, which is a really cool way of like solving that tracking damage problem when you have a bunch of stuff on the board. The rule book. Wow. So... this is a demo rule book. It is not the final rule book. I'm just going to read the first line or so from this because I think it's worth reading. Congratulations. You became the owner of the box with the game. Master of the box, Borderheim Chronicles. There is a huge world in your hands is. Be very careful. Learn all the rules and carefully proceed to the game. The game Borderheim requires from player the knowledge of elementary mathematics, refer to care, and punish for carelessness. That was not me poorly reading things like normal. That was me reading the first few sentences of the rulebook. We're going to assume that they're going to fix that. Just saying.
I would hope so.
And they have 55 days to fix it, because that's how long this campaign is.
It's a very long one.
Yes. So I am not bringing this up because I think this is a sham of a game. I honestly don't know. I don't think it is. I think it's just very passionate people trying to play this or trying to create this game. It is from a first-time creator, so take that with a grain of salt. It is literally 54 days remaining as of we recorded this, but as you listen to it, it'll be 52. So it goes until December 11th. They claim that, let me see here, 15 people's full-time jobs are at work to create this game. Again, a little suspicious. Let's just say this is a game that I'm going to be watching over the next month and a half because I'm curious to see where this goes. So if you want to watch this with me, by all means, that's Borderheim Chronicles. Oh, and it only costs $100. Oof. Yeah, if they can pull this off with all that's here, I'd say it's probably the value's there. But and they already have almost $50,000, almost 400 backers. So we'll have to watch the comments thread, which is quite significant. And I haven't done a whole lot of real digging into this. But this one could be fun to watch. Just careful if you back it too soon. Wait till the last couple weeks. All right, take us to something that's not so epic.
All right. I am watching Processing, a game of serving humanity.
That sounds just as epic.
It's okay. It's a small game, but it is an epic scale for the theme of the game because Earth has been conquered by aliens. So it's the whole Earth. And using twisted democracy, determine which survivors are either freed, probed, or processed. So the premise is you have been abducted by aliens and you have been given the job of sorting out other abductees into one of three categories, where they will either be freed, probed, or turned into meat.
This sounds like a game that also has three choices, but we are going to continue with your description instead.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. So
some people do. They're like, what? Did he just go there? Yes.
Okay. Oh, I get it. Gross. It's not like that at all. So what is actually happening is there are both cows and humans are being abducted, but there are also different races of aliens. And at the beginning of the game, you are given three different aliens with three different objectives of how they want people processed. So each round you have voting tokens and you get the same number as everyone else at the beginning of the game. And you are trying to vote on who is going where, what is going to happen to each of these survivors, which are randomly generated at the beginning of the round. At the end, you score based on one of the three cards you have in your hand. And the next time you have two cards to pick from, and then you have to score your last card for the last round. And whoever pleases their alien overlords the most wins. And you are freed, not eaten or probed.
Because those two are clearly not the better option.
They are not great options at all. I don't think I would pick either of them.
So I like this one. I like the hello, my name is. All right. I can't get my mind out of the processed, probed, and freed mindset. This one is worth getting.
It never even occurred to me. When you watch the video, it makes perfect sense. So, like, you know, you're trying to, like, so one of the races are vegans, so they want to make sure that nobody's turned into meat.
Okay.
And one of them is all about, like, probe all the people. So, like, free the cows, eat them, we don't care, but all of the people need to get probed. And, like, you're trying to get the votes to line up. So you're trying, but you don't want to, like, give away too much, because if you don't succeed this round, you could maybe score one of your other cards, but then everyone knows what you're going for the next time.
All I know is when you back this game, 100% back the deluxe extras, because enamel pins that have icons of the probed, eaten, and freed things, acrylic pieces that look really, really cool, and the most important thing, an alien agenda, squirrel or die. I like anything with squirrels.
All right. Well, the number I have here is $30, but what's the deluxe version, Chris?
Let's see here. It doesn't say specifically. It just says deluxe extras. Maybe it's just automatically included.
Stretch goals, maybe?
Well, there's the $40 conveyor belt, and that's a copy plus some, a pin revealing your personal fate, all unlocked stretch goals. Oh, here you go. $70. Copy of the processing, deluxe token set, and a pin. It looks like one pin because you get one pin revealing your fate. And then for $100, while this game can get expensive, you get the limited edition Alien Agenda Squirrel or Die. So it's going to cost me $100 to get that agenda. And there's 81 of 125 left.
And we have until November 15th to figure it out. And that is Processing, a game of serving humanity.
I feel like I totally derailed that one.
You really did. It took me quite some time to figure out what you were talking about. I'm very tired.
It's totally okay. All right. I'm going to talk about Gruff, Stuff of Dreams. Gruff is a game that's been around for quite some time. And Stuff of Dreams, I want to say, is the third or fourth expansion. I know there's a Trolls expansion. I want to say there's at least one other, because my base box has way more than originally fit in the base box. Stuff of Dreams was the first one that was Kickstarter only. So if you wanted to get this expansion, sorry, too late. it was you can't get this. But I am going to talk about Gruff, because Gruff is a great game. And every time I play it, I want to play it again. And the interesting things about, well, the story behind Gruff is there were two shepherds. They had goats. They met at a bridge. They got in a fight. They suddenly realized that goats are great for fighting. So because the goats fought each other, and then one of the shepherds got to cross the bridge and the other one didn't. So once that got out, the shepherds started mutating their goats. And the shepherds started going crazy. So there's tons and tons of goats in this game. Tons and tons of shepherds. And each shepherd, you're going to choose a shepherd, and you're going to choose three goats. Each goat has 15 cards that go along with that goat, but you're only going to choose eight of them. You're going to take those total of 24, eight from each goat, and you're going to shuffle that together, and that is your start. So you put your goats out there, they're in a line, three across, and your shepherd's there, and you're trying to knock down the other shepherd. You're trying to get all of his life out. Each of these goats is... you're going to be able to do one of, you're going to activate one of them, and you can either attack with the goat, you can basically make the goat more powerful, which they call grow, you can swap positions, or you can resurrect a dead goat with your current goat. So basically one of your goats says, hey, wake up, and then their dead goat wakes up again. They're mutated goats. They have abilities beyond.
Maybe it just fainted, like those weird fainting goats.
It's basically exactly it. Speaking of which, Stuff of Dreams comes with like replacement cards for all the goats, where when you flip them over, it's like the goat's upside down with little like dead. Normally you just flip them over and it's just the back of a goat card, but now there's like their fainting image.
Hilarious.
I like it. But there's a lot of strategy in this game. So what happens is when you activate a goat, each goat is a little bit weird, and that weird adds to your shepherd's crazy. And your crazy value is how much... I guess energy, points, mana, whatever you want to call, it's crazy, that you get to spend to play cards. And then you can play these cards, can mutate, they can have like short-term abilities, or they can have instant effects. And you're just trying to kind of go back and forth and knock out the other players' goats so that you can get to their shepherd and actually do damage to the shepherd. Shepherds have threshold values on a lot of them, where once you hit, so you might have 9 life, once you get to 7 life or 8 life or 6 life or whatever it is, the shepherd will have some kind of crazy effect that happens. So there's just like a ton of different things that are going on here. Stuff of Dreams, the major thing that they did here besides adding more goats, more shepherds, is they added branded cards. So one of my complaints, I actually did an interview with the designer here, and one of my suggestions to him was he needs to create a list of pre-made decks. Because when I want to play this game, I don't want to have to create decks for every single one. It's a very casual game. I like the idea of creating decks, but give me something where I can just like put this together real quick. And he's like, Stuff of Dreams, they have cards with brands on them. And if you take all the cards that have a particular brand on it, you put those all together and you have a balanced deck. So it comes with 5 branded decks in the box, and you can just put them together and play, and they play really well together. I really like Gruff. And Stuff of Dreams, like I say, that's going to be hard to get your hands on. But Gruff, the game itself, is a really cool game. You should check it out.
Yeah, it sounds good. You keep talking about it, and I keep wanting to play, and it just, there's always something else.
There's always other games. Kind of taxing how many games there are.
I know. We play too many games.
And yet we still don't play enough.
I know. The paradox of games.
All right. Here's a paradox. If you read this paragraph, we can hit end, and then that's another week done.
I'm not sure that's a paradox, but I will read it anyway. Thanks for listening. The Kickstarter edition is produced by Tabletop Game Talk Studios, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Be sure to check out our on-topic episodes anywhere you find your podcasts or at tabletopgametalk.com. You can follow us on Facebook at /Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at @TabletopGameTLK, I'm at @LawfulGoodMom, and Chris is at @GameMasterChris. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at Kickstarter@TabletopGameTalk.com. Finally, a huge thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.